We incline the ears of our hearts to hear the word of the Lord now as we read the New Testament passage from Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles with you, you may turn there to Ephesians chapter 2, and we will start in verse 1. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is God's holy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that in your grace and kindness towards your people, that you sent your word, that you sent the Lord Jesus himself to dwell among us, to show us who you are, Father, and that in his death and rising again, that he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to bring us to life in him, in Christ himself. Lord, would you now pour out your Spirit upon us in another measure, Lord, that we might receive your word with gladness, that we might hear and obey the word that you speak to us now. Lord, be glorified in your word, be glorified in the life of your people, be glorified in the words of your servant. We ask this through the eternal word himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to him be glory in the church forever and ever. Amen. If you can turn in your Bibles, we're going to hear the word of the Lord now for today from the book of James. James chapter 1. It's printed there at the bottom of your first page of the bulletin. James chapter 1, verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Thanks be to God. If you're anything like me, you probably this time of the year, every year, your heart and mind begins to think of the year that lay before us. Looking back at 2020, A lot of difficulties, a lot of trials, a lot of changes that no one could have ever foreseen. A lot of angry words. A lot of display of pride and arrogance. And I'm just talking about me. But it's so easy for us to look ahead and think, Lord, just change 2021 for me. That my life would just be a little easier. Maybe back to the way it used to be. Or maybe even better as I look forward. And it's always this outward looking that we are so easily focused upon. But our brother James here brings us this magnificent book, this oft-overlooked book and rarely preached from, book of James, a book of wisdom, very unlike the other books of the New Testament. But you know this if you were here last week, and no doubt you heard my beloved pastor, Francis Van Delden, preached to you from James. So you probably got the clue that at New Hope we're going through the book of James right now. So we're going to look at the next passage where we see the outworking of what we heard about in Ephesians chapter 2. That, but God, being rich in mercy, has made you and I alive together in Christ. And what does that look like? James is dealing with believers. He's talking to you and to me, brothers and sisters. He starts it out in verse 19 there. Know this, my beloved brothers. So he is talking to you and me. This is not just something that somebody else needs to learn, but this is something that you, as followers of Christ, need to hear. He tells us that we need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. He combines these things together because you and I know, and he says, know this, so that we already know this, that our anger comes so quickly because we are quick to speak. We're not quick to listen. He's telling us these things because James knows the condition of the human heart, even those in Christ, with the remaining sin that the Holy Spirit is working in us to remove from us. And so the first thing James tells us is that you need to believe the truth. Believe the truth. And the first truth is the truth about us, that we are not quick to listen, but we are quick to speak, to put forth our own attitudes, our own opinions. And James isn't teaching us something brand new here. For the book of wisdom that James is for us, he's relying heavily upon the book of wisdom in the Old Testament, Proverbs. Proverbs 10 tells us that when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 17 tells us that whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Because once we understand who we are, even who we are in Christ, sinners in need of the Savior and His sanctifying work in us, that should cause us to pause and be quick to hear. That hearing that James is talking about is not just the act of audible hearing. He's talking about an attitude of being willing to do what we have heard, being obedient to the word that has been spoken to us. And James is connecting these together, that we need to be slow to speak so that therefore we will be slow to anger. I don't know about you, but my mouth seems to have a direct connection to the rope of my anger, and it just pulls me along. The more I speak, the more angry I get. And he's saying that wisdom will cause us to pause and listen. He's talking about our life together on the horizontal level. Augustine, in like manner, tells us that truth is more safely heard than spoken. It's safer for me to listen to you than to open my mouth and to speak my opinions and my attitudes. Another of the great church fathers, Gregory the Great, back about the fourth century, in understanding where this comes from, he says that these words of James apply to us because of the sinful hearts and minds that reside in us, even those in Christ. Because a diseased mind, Gregory says, has no control over its own judgment. It thinks that whatever anger suggests must be right. Because once I'm angry, I'm no longer hearing what you have to say. I must be right because I'm angry about it. So why the warning? Why does James take us down this path? So what if I'm angry? I just get over it and move on, right? Isn't that the wisdom of the world? Just put your anger behind you and get over it. No, James warns us in verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And this warning comes to us understanding he's not speaking of the righteousness by which you and I are made righteous in Christ. Right now he's talking about the way that God deals with us. He deals with us righteously. All the Lord's judgments are true. He deals, as we read in Psalm 24, with equity with us. The scripture clearly tells us God deals with man according to his deeds. And this is what we are called to do with one another. And if I'm angry and I'm not listening to you, then the righteousness of God, the equity that comes from God, the justice of God, is the last thing on my mind. James goes on later in his letter to explain to us where this anger comes from. Why do I get worked up so easily? Well, because I'm not getting what I want. You're not agreeing with me, or you're not giving me what I need from you. Somehow you're an obstacle in my way. And when I see you like that, then I get angry. And the justice of God is nowhere to be found in my dealings with you. James is saying, be quick to hear, brothers. Be slow to speak. Listen to what the word of the Lord has to speak to us and to one another. Big talkers are rarely good listeners, one commentator says. And angry talkers may not hear a thing. James is stating the truth about you and me. We must believe this truth about you and me, that we get angry most of the time because we're just not getting what we want. And that anger will not lead us to act justly or equitably with one another. Now, there is a place for righteous anger, no doubt. The scriptures display this as it speaks to us of Jesus, the very Word who revealed the Father to us. But James is warning us, be quick to listen and be slow to anger. Our anger is rarely righteous anger, as we see in Jesus. We should be very cautious about thinking of our anger as being righteous anger. We always have mixed motives, mixed ideas of our own thoughts and the thoughts of the Lord. Instead, James tells us that what we should be doing is receiving the truth. In verse 21, he says, to therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, as the good pastor that James was, he is dealing with the whole man here, the whole person. He's saying the only way that you're going to achieve the righteousness of God in your dealings with one another is to put away the things that block us from walking in that. He tells us to put away all filthiness. This is the external aspect. These are the angry words that we choose to use, the cutting remarks, the biting statements. This is the filthiness that he's discussing. This is an external aspect of our sinfulness. When I think of filthiness, I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but as I put myself through college, I worked in various restaurant situations, restaurant businesses. And if you've ever worked in a restaurant, you know exactly what filthiness is all about. Because you go in to your shift with nice clean clothes, and whether you're working in the kitchen or you're serving food, by the end of your shift, you smell like the restaurant. You can't get it away. You can't get it off of you. And eventually, those clothes end up in the trash, because you can't even wash it away. That filthiness, that odor of the restaurant becomes a part of you. That's what it is with our words. See, when I speak angrily to you, when I use words that are demeaning, cutting, sarcastic, it's not just you that gets offended or wounded or hurt, but that filthiness sticks to me, and it follows me everywhere I go. And this is what James is dealing with, that external aspect. But then he turns his attention to the internal aspect. He says to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. This is that internal aspect of our remaining sin within us, that wickedness that all of these words come from. He's echoing the teaching of the Lord Jesus himself, where Jesus tells us that it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So my angry words, my cutting, biting remarks are more about me than they are about you. They're about what's going on in my heart. And see, in this world, we've got a lot of worldly wisdom to try to deal with that. My own father, who is quite a wise man, he used to say that your ears don't work when your mouth's open. And I'm sure you've heard the saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we all know that's not true. For there is no wound like the wound of words that have been spoken against us. Some of us carry those wounds even today from things that have been spoken about us or to us. We also have the worldly wisdom that says, if you don't have something nice to say, just don't say anything at all. Well, that's fine for the filthiness, for the external aspect. But that doesn't get to the heart that the Spirit is interested in changing, in cleansing, in renewing. David knew this when he, in his great prayer of confession of sin in Psalm 51, he asks the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. And he immediately ties that with, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Because he saw rightly the connection between what comes out of my mouth and what's going on in my heart. Believer, receive the word of Christ to richly dwell in you, to have its effect in your heart, that from that heart work that the Spirit causes, that from your mouth will come praise and things that glorify the Lord. Isaiah as well knew this when he received his call from the Lord to be the prophet of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah sees the magnificence, the high and lifted up Lord of glory seated on his throne and his train filling the temple. And immediately Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. How important our words are, how revealing they are of our need of a Savior. But James doesn't just tell us to put away this filthiness and this wickedness. He's not a moralistic teacher of do this, but don't do that. James immediately points us to our greatest need, to receive the word. He says, receive the word with meekness. This received is, in the Greek, it's actually a verb that talks about something that's already occurred. And we know this. He's speaking to you and to me, believer. You have received the word of Christ. You have been made alive with Christ. Paul tells us that we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. But this verb also speaks of ongoing activity. It has ongoing implications for your life and mine. We must continue to receive this word. Keep receiving the word of Christ. And he doesn't just call it the word, it's the implanted word. James is making it abundantly clear. You did not cause yourself to be made alive in Christ. You did not choose Christ, but he implanted his word in you that brought you to life. We got finished celebrating just 9 days ago. Boys and girls, you'll remember this, that just last week we were celebrating the birth of Jesus, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word, Jesus, has come for you and for me to be implanted in us, to bring us alive together with him through the work of his Spirit. And so when we receive the word of the Lord, we receive Christ himself. For he has perfectly revealed the Father to us, all that we need for life and godliness. This is the gospel. It's that Christ came not only to speak the word, but because he was the word, he could cause all things to occur according to the decree of God, and that is your salvation. We need to receive that word, turn to faith in Christ. For that is the solution to the problems that you and I face every day with our angry words. It's Christ Himself. And your assurance is that this word is implanted. It has been planted in your heart. There is nothing and no one that can remove that or separate you from that. But James is pressing us onward. Put away the filthiness and the rampant wickedness so that this word may richly dwell, may grow, may create an abundant crop, a beautiful pasture, a green landscape. As my wife and I prepare to sell our house and to move to Battle Mountain, she said to me, what about that lawn that you've been paying all that money for the lawn service to make beautiful? It doesn't look so beautiful. I don't think that's going to be a big selling point for the house. So I do the right thing, and I get on the phone and speak to the people at the lawn company, and I remind them, you guaranteed a greener lawn. I said, and the only greenness I'm really seeing is the nice blooming dandelions and the broadleaf weeds. And that crabgrass does have a nice shade of green to it. There's no question about that. And they didn't even skip a beat. They were unapologetic and just said, it's been a bad year for weeds. As it is with weeds, so it is with sin. It's been a bad year for sin. It's been a bad year for words, angry words, cutting, biting remarks, where we tear down one another. See, you are the image of God. And I, as the image of God, have the responsibility to give to our Creator all the glory that is due His name. And that includes honoring you with my words and with my actions. That's why James tells us to put away this filthiness, this rampant wickedness. Get rid of it. And my brothers and sisters, a 30-minute sermon a week is not going to make a nice, beautiful lawn. It's not going to make a beautiful heart that pours forth speech that glorifies the Lord and that honors you, that honors one another. This is the work of the Spirit in our life on a daily basis. This is receiving the word with meekness, with gentleness, saying, Lord, speak to me in your word. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. In the workplace, your words, your anger will come to define you. Whether you want it to or not, your coworkers, yeah, that's the guy who gets angry all the time. Oh, that's the guy who's got loads of opinions about everything under the sun. That's the guy who gets angry and spouts off whenever things don't go his way. Do you belong to Christ? Then let His word be what we hold on to. Let His word season our discussions like salt, that it might draw people to Christ, that we might point our co-workers to Christ. This is in radical opposition to the world today. But this is exactly what you and I are called to do. Let your light so shine among men that they would glorify your Father in heaven. And what about the home, where our angry words hurt and wound the very ones we love the most? Do we believe the word about us that James tells us? That we're not quick to listen, that we are not slow to speak, that we are definitely not slow to anger. Do we believe that word? Do we seek to be quick to listen, interested in putting others before ourselves? And what about our online presence, whatever that actually means? I'm not quite sure, but are we more interested in firing off our own opinion about the latest blog or responding in anger at that latest email? Yeah, well, I'll tell them what I really think. Do we hide behind the keyboard, thinking that somehow no one's going to hear our words but us? How are we pointing others to Christ online? James reminds us that this is the end goal. This is getting to the finish line of what the Spirit wants to do in you and I, in His works. He says to receive this implanted word, which is able to save your souls. If you were here last week, I believe you would have heard Pastor Francis refer to what this end goal is. It's the end of our faith. It's the crown of life that is promised to those who love Him. James is not just dealing with our speech and our anger with each other, but our ability to receive this word. Believe the truth that you need to receive the word and then receive it. Apply your heart and your mind to it that we might grow in Christ, that we might bring glory to Him in 2021, whatever it brings. Amen. If you would pray with me. Lord Jesus, we hear your word, we receive your word. Lord, we trust that your Spirit will apply this word to our hearts. Help us to put away the filthiness and the rampant wickedness that clings to us in our sinfulness. Lord, let me love you with my words. The words that I speak to others, not just the words that I speak to you in prayer. Lord, be glorified in everything that we say and do. Because you alone are holy, Lord. You alone are worthy to receive all praise and honor, Lord. May our lives reflect that. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.